Lord Jesus, for thanksgiving, for so great a salvation, such greatness. Displayed, exhibited, made manifest in a mighty God. Holy, holy, holy is His name. High above all, covering all space and time, and humbled Himself so greatly for our sakes. Became subject to His own creation, took on our sin. We might be made the righteousness of God. How do you speak things like that without falling to your knees before our God with thanksgiving? How do you speak things like that and really mean them and not fall in love with our Lord Jesus and what He is, and what He has done, and what He is for us now because of that bloodshed? Oh, how we give you praise and thanksgiving this morning that we can meet with you, that we can commune with you, that we can come into your presence and not perish, but come with boldness. Only by you, Father, are all these things, and we give you praise. Be exalted this morning, please, Father, in every heart. I'm just going to ask, would you meet everybody where they're at? You alone know. Each need, each heart, each individual. But you are God, you are the infinite one, so you know how to speak what it is that they are needing. Help them, Father, is what I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Nice to see you all. Brother Juan is in bed with a very bad back, and so keep him in prayer. Brother Fabio, so nice to see you. It's been a while. Bolivas, God bless you. Sister Rachel, nice to see you. God bless you. Ah, God is good. Amen. Paul's weakness, so we continue. I don't think any of us would look at Paul's ministry and ever say that was a weakness. That Paul was weak, we wouldn't even understand him saying those things, I don't think. But we're looking from the outside, he was seeing from the inside. And he was seeing what was there, what was in his heart. Perhaps they did see in certain aspects of it when he was before them speaking. And he says, my speech was with much trembling and fear. Why was that? Why did God allow that? Why did He say, when I am weak, you are strong? Why were these things there? It was for the glory of God. And we know that there's this great man of God who could say before the whole world, I'm chiefest of sinners. And not do that just to make a show of false humility, I think, for which most would be hard to say that without that today, because do we really believe that? But God is working with us too, doing what we could never do for ourselves. So we've been looking at so many scriptures, 1 Timothy, speaking of that. No, you don't have to turn there right now, but along with this, those things that Paul never forgot, what he was in Christ Jesus, what he was because of Christ Jesus. And I can believe I can say this with all confidence, that never left him. It was always there. Not only chiefest of sinners, but least of all the apostles. And again, I don't believe he said these things to put on a show of humility. I believe in his heart that's what he was. So we're looking at these things Help me to remember, help me to forget. Who remembers who wrote that book? What was the name of him? Do you remember? Paul? Robert something. There you go. If you can get a hold of that, it's a true story. I think you would be abundantly blessed to read his story of his life. I tried to find it, but just looked real quickly. Not in print anymore, huh? Anyway, there's this thing to what, as we've been talking about, what are we to remember, what are we to forget? We've gone some in that, but I think the thing that is before me and before us now is 2 Peter chapter 1, and it's a statue of a perfect man. And there's so many things by the experiential knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Branham over and over said, I may not know the word, but I sure know the author real well, right? Okay? Now, that's been on my heart for a long time. We've known doctrine, we've known it pretty well, and I think it's critical because to know the doctrine that he sent is to know him. We are not Trinitarians, we know who we're worshiping. We're worshiping in spirit and in truth. We know who we serve, we know what it is, and we have fallen in love with what he is. But in knowing him personally is another step through that revelation, because by the experiential knowledge, we have grace, we have peace multiplied, we have divine power, and we have his divine nature, all of those things through that. But then he says, you add, and we're adding and adding and adding, and he says in verse 8, if these things been you and are in you. Okay. It shows something's going on in the revelation. The revelation is active. It's doing what it's supposed to do. And it's there, and it's making its work, and it shows you are not unfruitful. The revelation is doing what it's supposed to do. What's it doing? It's changing you into the image of the sons of God. Add, okay? Add. So, verse 9, is that what we've been looking at the last couple of weeks? But he that lacks these things is blind. Blind for what? He cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten that he was purged. Okay? Now, what is he trying to say through that? Because that's a mouthful. And that's enough to meditate on for months, and if not years itself. Okay, are we lacking these things? Well, he's working on there. Are we what's the last thing? Agape. Okay? Am I lacking agape? Am I lacking godliness, patience, how am I with brotherly kindness? Then something's happened and we become something in ourselves. We've forgotten we were purged, because if I know I was purged, okay. It releases me to become. It releases me from guilt to become. Now guilt holds us down. Okay. And I Brother Isaac Asimwe just sent me this morning. I was so blessed. And in 1962, 1963, Brother Branham says, all things we can speak, but all things are ours through Christ. Stature of a perfect man, sonship, all of those are ours through Christ. If he spared not his own son to bring this to us, how much more will he bring if we're willing to receive? Right? Okay, so does he want to bring you to these places? Mm-hmm. Who's doing it? It's all him. We know that. Now, I can't speak of all things. I want to speak one certain thing of these things, and that's the important thing. That's the word pardoned. And I love that word pardon. Actually, the word pardon means a release from guilt. Isn't that beautiful? Uh-huh. A release uh-huh. from guilt. Now, who's hanging over your head? Uh-huh. Who's the one that condemns you? Who's the accuser of the brethren? And he's very busy, isn't he? Right? Uh-huh. But if you are pardoned by the blood of Jesus Christ, he says you are released from guilt. Not trying to turn away from through some form of psychology, turn away, but be pardoned. That means it's put away. There's no more to it. It's forgotten. To turn away from anything, you can turn back to it, like sins at one time is covered, but now they're not covered. They're divorced. They're completely gone, put in the sea of forgetfulness. Never to be remembered, no more. I like that. So do I. I love it, as a matter of fact. So we are at a place where we are going to need more faith than ever. Correct? Right? We are in a place, you look at the country, and there's enough things to have that song that Brother Branham said, men's hearts are failing for fear. Luke 21, right? What's going to keep you from failing, your heart failing from fear? God. What's going to keep you for having rapture in faith? God. What's going to keep you where you can have faith? You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. If there's any guilt over your head, you have to be divorced from it, because that will become a faith blocker. And I've said this many times, what kind of things in our lives are blocking your faith being from what it should be? So we have to examine ourselves and get rid of those faith blockers, get rid of those things that make me not, oh, well, is he going to hear my prayer? Will he listen to me? Do I have confidence that he will hear me and respond to my prayer and answer my prayer? Is he going to protect me? Is he going to keep me, hold me, protect my family? All of these things, we need to know where we stand in Christ Jesus. So here we are in 2 Peter again. If I realize I'm pardoned, there's a vision that comes with it. What am I pardoned for? I'm pardoned to become. I'm pardoned to add to my faith. I'm pardoned to grow in Christ. And we have to know that with that pardoning comes a vision for these things, because it says right there, he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off. What did the blood of Jesus Christ, how powerful is that blood? We like to sing about it, but then we go home and in the recesses and corners of our minds, we fight our battles, and the devil's really good at taking everything away and stripping us of everything that we got, you know, a few minutes with in the presence of our Lord. But here, you must understand, verse 9 is very important. Keep it with you there. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and he hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. You are pardoned. You are free from your guilt. There, that is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, on these things, it's realizing who we are in Christ Jesus that makes us become what he wants us to become. And with that, I'm going to go to a scripture that we've read before. And that's in Titus chapter 3. If you would use that, I'm going to use that for a text today. Would you stand with me, please? Paul's writing to Titus. He's writing the same thing that governed his life, Timothy's life, those around him, and those he wrote to, those he ministered to, because it was first in him, first in his own life. Writing to Titus, his son in the faith, he says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates. Well, here we are. Okay? We don't like it. God's in control. Okay? And to be ready to work every what? Good work. Now he says, what's the next one? Speak evil of what?
No man.
Nobody. no person, nobody. Okay? Speak evil of no man. Well, come on. Why does somebody speak evil of others? They don't like what they're doing. They don't like what they are. They criticize. They find fault. But only one who has been delivered, okay, greatly, he who has been forgiven much, loves much. And not only does he love his Lord much, he is able to love others, okay? Listen, I knew a lady, Keith Shelton. His mother, Ida, was the most gracious lady I ever met in my life. She was a sinner. She would be condemned by most people. But she knew the grace of our Lord Jesus so deeply, so profoundly, that the rest of her life was given over to him and to everybody else. The same redeeming love that forgave her, she was able to forgive anybody for anything. How dare I hold anything against anybody if I have been forgiven so greatly? So you would never hear her speak evil of any person. I've been redeemed. I deserve to die. Okay? Now that's where all of us need to have some kind of revelation of my redemption, and I have been purged, I have been cleansed to become. And only by that purging, only by that blood, only by that forgiveness, the pardoning of my sin, can I become and be anything. Okay, speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves were sometimes, foolish, to be evil spoken of, disobedient, to be evil spoken of, deceived. We ourselves were the same place, so I can't speak evil of anybody now. Do you see his heart here? Huh? What Jesus did rules everything that he is and does now. Okay? And that's our message lately, is on these things. I was foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving different lusts or desires, pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Yeah, that was me. Okay? But after what? The kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Oh, how great was that love. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope. Now there it is again. I'm redeemed to become. I'm redeemed to receive more from him, of him, to become what he wants me to be. Heavenly Father, quicken these things, I ask. You be lifted up and exalted in every heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, you be seated. All right, so here we are. Help me to remember, help me to forget. We're going to spend some time this morning, if you turn in your Bibles, to Psalms. And from there, we're going to Psalm 106. I don't know if many of us have spent much time here. The Lord brought this to my attention many years ago because I was looking at some of these things. Now, what we are told, okay? What we are told is to remember. What Israel was told to remember, what Paul did was remembered. What did he remember? He remembered what God in his redeeming love did to him. I am not worthy. Okay? Chiefest of sinners. Least of all the apostles. But God, rich in mercy. Always going back to this thing. So there was this thing that all of Paul being raised under the feet of Gamaliel taught God's thing concerning remembering. Okay? And it all starts remembering Passover, remembering the blood for generations. It will never depart from you. God said you must remember these things. Psalm 106 is very, very interesting to me because they forgot everything. And all through there. Now, it starts out with five verses of praise at the beginning, ends with five verses of praise at the very end of the psalm, but the middle is the complete failure of Israel to the point. I was reading this, and as I was reading it, I thought, now wait a minute, this is a psalm. So if you wrote a psalm, what is a psalm? A song. What is the song for in the Psalms? To what? To praise. To praise who? God. So, okay. If you were going to write a song about Josh, about Greg, about Don, about Elisha, about Fabio, about Norman, yeah. Would you write all of the lousy, rotten things that we did in our lives? But that's what's going on here. So I got in the middle of this psalm, and I forgot the first five verses, and I thought, what is this? How is this a psalm of praise? All you're talking is about the lousy things that they did, and all of their mistakes, and all of their failures. But in this psalm, you see the grace and mercy, and the long-suffering of God, and the absolute miserable failure of man. Okay? And that's, here we are. And you know what? I hope this is an encouragement to us all. Because Satan is right there for every one of us to show us our miserable failures, isn't he? Uh-huh. You're this, you're that. Remember what his name is. What's he called? The accuser of the... He doesn't accuse the world. They have no conscience. But he accuses you before God once in a while. What does it say? Day and night. Isn't that what he said? Constantly accusing you. Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this. So let's read. I'm going to read the whole psalm this morning. And it begins there. Praise ye the Lord. Praise Yahweh. Praise Jehovah. Calling him by name. And that's what we love to do. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord Jesus Christ, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. What a wonderful way to begin. Huh? Your mercy. They're praising his mercy. Now, hold your hand there, okay? Because I'm going to something that is constantly before me, and that's Ephesians chapter 1. And this is going to come to pass because it is through us. Who are maturing. Okay. Now, we are chosen. We are the elect. We are predestinated. Okay. To become placed or matured or finished sons, because that's what adoption is. So here, as I've said many times, what has happened to us in the message, I think we've forgotten grace, I've forgotten mercy, and I am something. And we must remember, we are only something in Jesus Christ. Outside of him, we are miserable failures, and without him, we can do nothing, but in him, and by him, and through him, we can do all things. So here in Ephesians 1, okay, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. Now that's an act of grace right there, because I cannot be holy. Brother Branham, like he says, do you believe in holiness? Yes, but not mine. I don't have any. Now if that's a prophet of God, sometimes, somehow, the devil would like to come into our back door and say, you got holiness. Look at how clean you live. And the next thing you do is you go from there and you go look, go out on the streets and say, oh, thank God I'm not like one of them. And they would say, oh, what happened to me? I just turned into a Pharisee. Yeah. Why? You forgot that you were purged to become. You forgot that you were washed. You forgot that you needed salvation. And here it is the same thing with our becoming in adoption, having predestinated us to the adoption, placing of sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, not yours. He chose you to do this. He's going to do it. Verse 6, my adoption, my placing, my holiness, my without being without blame, my being placed is what? To the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace will be glorified. His grace will be praised. This is always before me for years now. His grace will be glorified. His mercy will be glorified. Okay? We will praise his grace, wherein he made us what? Accepted where? In the beloved. What if he didn't make us accepted in the beloved? I have no hope. Do you understand what he's trying to say? Even in Ephesians, the maturing chapter, the book where people can be taught, brought to maturity, you are never released from your Savior and needing salvation, and you are only becoming because you were purged. You with me? So here we are back in Psalm 106 now, starting out, praise ye the Lord, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. What a way to start, for his mercy endures forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Those that are redeemed. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with the favor thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation. Does that ring true now? Do we need it? You bet. That I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thine inheritance. Now here we start. Four. Here's us. I'm wondering if this is where we were without Christ and where we came from, just like where Paul. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. And now look at verse 7. Our fathers understood not. They didn't understand the wonders of Egypt. Huh? How do you even say something like that? How could you not understand what was going on? They were blind to it. But isn't that amazing? They didn't, and they didn't. Is that the truth? They didn't understand the wonders of Egypt. They remembered not. There it is. Things that you don't forget. Help me to remember. Help me to forget. Things I have to forget. Things I cannot forget. What did they do? They were disobedient in the fact they remembered not the multitude of thy mercies. Huh? Listen, bride. Huh? If you forget the multitude of his mercies, you will not be what he wants you to be. They remember not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for what? His name's sake. Have you ever noticed? Huh? Does he save you because of your righteousness? Does he bring you bride because of your righteousness? Huh? I think it's Deuteronomy. Hold your hand there again. Go with me to Deuteronomy. And I think it's chapter 9. Where is it? Yeah, there's another one. He says, I didn't redeem you. because of your righteousness, because you were a stiff-necked people, I redeemed. There you go. Thank you. Verse 5. Thou art a holy, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord hath chosen to be a special people unto himself above all the people. The Lord did set his love upon you, nor choose you because you are more in number. But there's even another one. I'll find it. It's another place. I got it written down somewhere. But he comes, huh? 9. I thought. 9:5? Oh, 9. That's where I was. I was looking at 7 for some. That's it. Look at verse 9:5. Chapter 9 of Deuteronomy. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thy heart. Now, I think you could say the same thing about us. We're seed, but we're redeemed seed. Okay? We're seed, but we're purged from our old sins. Not for thy righteousness, nor for the righteousness of thine heart dost thou go to possess the land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So there it is. It's not because of us. You understand? It's all because of him. It's because of his glory for his name that it's for the praise of the glory of his grace. Oh, if God could just... See, do you understand, brothers and sisters? God humbled himself so greatly. He humbled himself way beyond what we would ever think to humble ourselves. And we still think we got a little bit of something in us. So when you see the spirit of the one who humbled himself in Paul, okay, then that reflects Paul. And what did Paul say? Oh, I'm something great? No. I'm cheapest of sinners, least of all the apostles. I don't deserve anything. See, he didn't have anything for self-esteem, but he had all of his confidence in the one that was in him and took him over. You see the difference? And that's the bride of Jesus Christ where she should be. My confidence, not me. Okay? Galatians 2:20, it's not me, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Where's my self-esteem? None. Where's my confidence? Not in me, but in the one who saved me and fills me and takes me over. There is a place and a nice, perfect recipe for rapturing faith, brothers and sisters. Back to Psalm 106. Where he says, nevertheless, he saved them, what? For his name's sake. For his name's sake, that he might make his power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, and he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. And he saved them from the hand of them that hated them, and he will do the same today. And redeemed them from the hand of the enemy, and he will do the same today. And the waters covered their enemies, and there was not one of them left of their enemies. Then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. But look at verse 13. There it is again. They sang his praise. Didn't last very long, did it? They soon did what? Forgot what? His works. Isn't it interesting? Okay. What is it? He did something. He parted the Red Sea. He gave them the Passover lamb as a token. Spared them, sent them out. And he says, now this is supposed to last you. How long? A month? A decade? Centuries? Millennia? Right? What got it? Now, why would that sustain them? We always want something, okay, where is he now? But with us in this day, now this second, we don't have that kind of, where's that kind of faith that God wanted them to have? He is God. He showed himself in power, and he will show himself again because he's for me. Okay. Verse 13, they soon forget his works. There it is again. Verse 7, they remembered not. Verse 13, they forget. Actually, those of you who have paper and pencil, it would be good if we were going through here, write down every verb. When it talks about what they didn't do, they remembered not, they provoked, verse 7. Okay, verse 13, they soon forget. Okay, verse 13, they waited not for his counsel. They just went on. Verse 14, they lusted. You're going to have quite a list of verbs here, speaking against themselves. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and here's another verb. They tempted God in the desert, and he gave them their request, but sent leanness to their soul because they asked the wrong thing. Here's another verb. Verse 16, they envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. And the earth opened and swallowed up Dathan and covered the company of Abiram. 18, and a fire was kindled in their company, and the flame burned up the wicked. That's quite a song of praise, isn't it? We're total of failures. They made a calf in Orem and worshipped the molten image. Thus they changed their glory in the similitude of an ox that eateth grass. Bad verbs. 21, here it is again. Again, they forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. Verse 22, wondrous works in the land of Ham and in terrible things in the Red Sea. Therefore he said that he would destroy them, had not Moses chosen. Now there's two verses positive, verse 23 and verse 30. Two men. Therefore he said he would destroy them, had not Moses chosen before, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. I'm always wondering, okay? In Exodus, when he said, Moses, they're your people, what was he doing? I'm going to ask you a question. What if he said that to you? What would be your response? They're not worthy of it. They're renegades. They're missing. They're lacking. What would we do? Where is the spirit of... But Moses had the spirit of Christ. Mm-hmm. So I keep saying... Over in my heart, I keep pleading, Lord, I want to see that above all things. When I see that in us, I will know that the rapture is near. More verbs. Verse 24. Yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believed not. There's another one. Verse 25, another one. They murmured in their tents, and more verbs, they hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. The list becomes growing rapidly, doesn't it? Okay. If I was up here to do this about dawn, okay. Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, Don, you know, can I tell you about all of his failures? Can I tell you about all of his mistakes? Can I tell you that he's a loser? Can I tell you that he has no hope outside Jesus Christ? Because he doesn't. Can I tell you that there's nothing good in Don Hoffman whatsoever? Nothing, not one thing, except the mercy of God? Yeah. He's it. He's the only thing. Okay, verse 26, therefore he lifted up his hand against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in their lands. And that will happen one day, we know, in the tribulation, after he's pleaded for mercy and people refuse it. To overthrow their seed also among the nations, to scatter them in the lands. They, here's more verbs, they joined themselves also to Baal Peor. Another verb, they ate the sacrifices of the dead. Another verb, they provoked him to anger by their inventions, and the plague broke out upon them. Here's the other positive verse of all of these, then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment so that the plagues were stayed. And that was counted unto him for righteousness unto all generations forevermore. Here's more verbs now. They angered him also at the waters of strife. Okay, you know, Hoffman really angered the Lord here, and Hoffman really angered the Lord there, and Hoffman made this mistake, and Hoffman... What if we wrote our own psalms? Why did this person write this psalm? Why did, you know, like Brother Branham says, only the Bible is the thing that will talk about the bad things. Any history books, they try to smooth them over. Oh, really? Don's a pretty good guy overall, you know. But here is a book of truth and honesty and shows forth the mercy and grace of God. Verse 32 again, and they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes. Here again, verse 33, because they provoked his spirit, more verbs, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. They were disobedient. More verbs, they mingled among the heathen and learned their works. More verbs, they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. More verbs, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus, look at verse 39. They were defiled with their own works, and went a whoring with their own inventions. As man defiled himself with his own works, but God, rich in mercy. Yeah. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people, insomuch that he abhorred his own inheritance. And he gave them into the hand of the heathen that hated him. Gave them to people that hated them and ruled over them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their hand. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel. There again, brought low for their iniquity. And that was the last five verses. The mercy of God. Nevertheless, look at this. He regarded their affliction. Huh? He sent them to be afflicted, and they cried. And then he said, my son is hurting. I must go to him. What kind of, do you understand the mercies of God? Here is a whole psalm about the absolute failure of man. The absolute failure of Israel. And no wonder this is a song about, it's, look at how it starts out. Praise ye the Lord! Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And we will sing that and shout that throughout all eternity, because it is him and not us. Verse 44 again, the last five verses. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. How precious is that when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the what? Multitude of his mercies. Do you understand? Do you really realize that what is keeping us away from agape? Huh? Think about that, brothers and sisters. What's holding us back from having the total spirit of Christ, where we would lay down our lives for the unlovable, the renegades, the rebellious? Where is it? No wonder agape is held back. And no wonder, but you know what? He's bringing us to it. Okay? He is bringing us to it. The stature of a perfect man, because somebody purged will not forget. I've been purged, and the purging of my sin opens my eyes, and I can see afar off. I've been purged to become. I've been purged to add. I've been purged to come to that stature of a perfect man, and it's all because I've been purged. All because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me. These are so beautiful, brothers and sisters. I love this. Look at, he doesn't look at you. He can't. Huh? Brother Branham tells you he only looks at you through what? Through the blood of his Son. That's the only way he can. Do you know what grace that is? Do you know that the devil can look at you and pick you apart and tear you apart and accuse you of every single thing in the world, but God looks through at you through the blood of his Son? My goodness. Let me read it one more time. I can't get over it. He doesn't count your mistakes. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. Let me challenge you. When you're out on the streets, when you're looking around, when you run into somebody, yeah, can you regard their affliction? Can you have mercy on them? Huh? Can you hear the cry of their hearts? Verse 45, and he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. And he made them also to be pitied of all of those that carried away their captives. He turned them around. Okay? Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. To do what? To give thanks unto what? Thy holy name. He's the only one that has a holy name. Don isn't a holy name. Greg isn't a holy name. Derek isn't a holy name, but God's name. The Lord Jesus Christ is holy. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name. And to triumph what? In thy praise. I'm constantly before Ephesians, his grace, those who he chose to be adopted. Okay? Oh, look at, we're something. Oh, look at, we're bright. Oh, look at, we're seed. No. Your seed. It's true. You're elect. That's true. You always was. That's true. But you needed to be redeemed. Okay? You needed blood to stand for you. You needed a sacrifice on your behalf. And without that, you're nothing. And we must never forget that. He had a lack of these things as blind. He cannot see afar off, and he forgot. He forgot that he was purged from his old sins. Again, let's read 47 and 48 together, would you? Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen to give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say amen. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed be his name. Yeah, well, what about us? Did Paul realize that? Yeah. Paul, who wrote to the Ephesians, to the praise of the glorious Israel. Let's go there again. We'll close with this. We'll go get into the Old Testament more next week. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 1 goes before the foundation of the world. Isn't that interesting? Tells the whole plan of God. Tells predestination. Okay, it tells of election. It tells what's in the mind and heart of God and what he's going to do. chapter 2 comes down to earth. Chapter 2 comes down to earth and say, looks down in the muck and the mud and finds you and finds me and say, ah, before the foundation we were in mind, but here's where he had to come to bring you in this world, in this earth. Verse 2, and you he hath quickened to word what? Dead in trespasses and sins. Where in the time past you walked according to the course of this world. Yep. Who's he talking to? Saints. What's he telling them? You have to remember where you came from. What's our theme? You have to remember where you came from, what was done for you. Just don't lust to go back there. Don't, oh, geez, those leeks and garlics and melons are pretty good back there. Nope, nope. Where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, the same spirit that worked in serpent seed works in God's seed. Okay, I've heard it said many a time that a sheep can do every dirty, rotten, filthy thing that a goat can do. When it's true. Look at these verses. Among whom? Among the serpent seed. Also we had our conduct, our conversation, our way of manner of life in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yep. And we're by nature, before we were redeemed, we were children of wrath, even as others. But then those beautiful verses. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, and made us set together in heavenly places. He made us. He raised us. He made us. Ah. We are nothing in ourselves. Everything that we are is of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, brothers and sisters, you got a devil, and he hounds at you constantly, and he condemns you, and he ridicules you. Who are you that think you're a daughter of God? Who are you that think you're a son of God? Look at your mistakes. Look at this. Look at that. You tell him, I've been redeemed. I've been purchased. I've been bought. Not by money, but by the blood of the Lamb of God, who stands for me and intercedes for me to this moment. And he is the only hope I have. And he is the one that can cleanse your conscience and free you from all guilt to become. To become. He purged you to become. He purged you to set you free. Now, can you take this same message, brothers and sisters? Can you take that message out to others? Can you tell them? Huh? Can you tell them Jesus loves them? Do you know that people? Huh? Do you know how many people have never heard that? I was talking to Sister Evie this week, and I told her, I said, there was a man. I got saved, and I was working for Mary's dad after going to all these plans to become an opera singer teacher. Here, next thing I do, I'm pumping gas in a gas station. You know, God has his ways, doesn't he? What did he say to Don? You need some humbling down. That should get your hands all greasy and grimy and dirty, right? There's not much glory in pumping gas in a gas station. That's pretty much next to a foot wash monkey. You thought you were something, didn't you, Hoffman? You know? I'll show you what you are. But I'm everything. There was a man in that gas station who, when he opened his mouth, blue smoke came out. It was filthiest, dirtiest. He could not say one sentence without vulgarity and filth. He was so hard for me to work around. And God put it on my heart, I want you to talk to him. And I said, no, Lord, not anybody but him. He scared me. Because he was a big bruiser, and he was this, he looked at you like he wanted to punch you all the time, you know. And one day I was in, we were told by our manager to wash a car that a customer brought in, so go over with, I can't even remember this guy's name, go wash a car with him. And I was sweating buckets because the conviction of the Lord was so heavy. And I couldn't get away from it. I started to open my mouth. We were in the car and he was in the front seat and I was sitting in the back seat washing the windows on the back windshield and stuff, and all of a sudden he was doing his thing. And I spoke his name. I said, "Do you know that the word that you're using, that you're saying such foul things using that name, do you know that he, that name, Jesus Christ, do you know that he loves you?" And he froze. He just froze, and I thought, he's going to hit me. And he froze. I bet he didn't move for, it seemed like an eternity to me, but it was a good 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, he turned around and he said, "Really?" He says, "I have never, nobody's ever told me anything like that before in my life." And I just started crying. And you know the weird thing? I never saw him again. That was at the end of the day, the work day, and he never was back. But a seed was sown. And you don't know when somebody around in this world has never heard the simplicity, Jesus loves you. And he died to rescue you from the sin that is shackling you. You know, do you listen to the Unshackled? And I still, it's one of my favorite to this day. I cry all the time. People being set free. People whose lives and minds are unshackled by Jesus Christ. Can you go out? Can you realize, you know what? I am chiefest of sinners, but someone took my place. Someone bore the wrath of God for me. If I could write a psalm about Don, how many verses would I say about his failures and his mistakes and his making God angry and his forgetting God and his things I forgot constantly and I provoked him to anger and I didn't wait for his counsel, right? Brothers and sisters, this was in Paul. And more and more as I look at Paul and I look at this weakness, doesn't Paul become more attractive to you all the time? Doesn't something in your heart say, "Lord, make me like that. Make me. Just, I don't have confidence. I don't have any self-esteem, but I love the one who took me over. I love the one who saved me. I love the one who fills me. And I am a prisoner to him for the rest of my life. But it's not me, it's him. It's him. It's our Lord Jesus." Oh, spread the word. It's a beautiful gospel. It's a beautiful gospel. And brothers and sisters, how many out there? Huh? Sister Evie, have you gone back to that? Did you go back? I told my sister Abby, she told her, she walked into a gas station at Wine just to buy a cup of coffee, and this man spilled his soul insights to her. I said, there was a divine appointment when you're least expecting it. Okay? One sows the seed, and we're nothing. Right? You got to remember that. One waters the seed, and they're nothing. But God! God, rich in mercy, God gives the growth. Oh, go light your world. Oh, go light your world. Oh, go, this gospel is so beautiful. It's so wonderful. It's so glorious. I thought, here is a whole psalm about all the miserable failures of Israel, everything that they did wrong. And God, in his, he says, I remember they're hurting. I got to go to my children. That's our God. That's what was inside of Paul. That's how he, not what he just preached, not to make a good sermon. This is what he was. This is how he lived. And when he told Israel over and over to, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget, there's the blood of a lamb. Don't forget a lampstand. No, you're spared. No, I delivered you. It was my power. It was supernatural. It was me. Don't forget that. And to this day, we have to carry this with us. It's Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and honor. That's no wonder. Don't you love it? Yeah. Hey, 1 Timothy chapter 1 again. Just one more time. I love this. Paul, his own testimony about his life. Musicians, would you come? Verse 12, man, I love this. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank him. I thank Jesus. Why? He enabled me. Yep. Okay? For he accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer. Yeah, see? He has his own little song. What did he say? Oh, I was capable. Oh, I was intelligent. Oh, I was irresistible. I was just the right choice to become his apostle. Right? It's Psalm 106 here in a man, speaking of himself and speaking about the goodness of God. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me and counted me faithful, putting me into the mystery who was before no good, a blasphemer and persecutor and injurious. And I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly. I was ignorant, Lord. I did it in unbelief. I was a sinner. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy. Now, can we say the same thing? I obtained mercy. Because somebody out there needs mercy, brothers. Okay? Somebody around you needs mercy. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to everlasting. And then here is the end of Psalm 106. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory forever and ever. God be praised. God be lifted up. God be glorified. You, when you're there in your adoption and you're on the ceremony of the adoption, and he comes to you, huh? And he says, come on, I'm going to put your robe on you now. And not one of us will say, I deserved it. We will say, it's to the praise of the glory of your grace. His grace will be glorified and praised and exalted and lifted up. He is everything. We are nothing. He is all. He is our all. And you are my everything. You are my all. You are my everything. Both great and small, you gave your life for me, made everything new. Derek preached a beautiful sermon a while back. It's Hebrews 10, chapter 1. He that is purged from his sin has no more conscience of sin. What did Brother Branham say in the message? Pardon. I'm pardoned. What does that mean? Huh? You're divorced. Your sin is in the sea of forgetfulness. He said you're free from all guilt. All guilt. That's a gift.
Amen.
That's a blessedness. And wonder and love and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, brothers and sisters, go be a light. Please, go be a light to the world. Go tell somebody Jesus loves him. That's the most precious word. Do you know what in this world out there? Look at, do you understand? It's the spirit of hatred out there. And the hatred is growing, isn't it? You can see it. You can watch it. There is no spirit of love except in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? Let's just sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. We, yeah, but he is. Okay, now wait a minute. There's another way of putting this, and I've heard this from a brother. Jesus knows me, this I love. Isn't that beautiful? Let's sing it that way this time. Jesus knows me, this I love, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but my Jesus, he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, how we love you and love your word. And we think of Hebrews chapter 2. How, man, how can we neglect so great a salvation? So great a salvation. Oh, how we praise you and thank you. All the devils of hell are against us, but you are for us. No wonder Paul could say, who is it? Who cares? Who can be against us? Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is God that justifies. Oh, blessed be your name. How great a salvation, Father. How we adore you and lift you up. And we know we needed your mercy and still do. And without that, we have no hope. But now we can approach you boldly by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how powerful, how strong it is that we can come into the presence of the Almighty, the Holy One, the high and lifted up One. And we can come because of the blood of our Lord Jesus, because of the blood. No wonder Paul said, I'm a prisoner to Jesus Christ. And let us all echo those same words. I am a prisoner of love to my Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us be a light in this dark world. Run to the darkness. Run to the darkness. Go tell someone. Ask for those divine appointments. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Open your hearts, open your ears to somebody that is hungry and needy and needs to hear the words of life. Please grant it, Lord. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.